This is Matt Wells at UN News. Homeworking has necessarily exploded since the COVID-19 pandemic took a grip on the world in 2020, with the UN Labour Agency, ILO, estimating that it may have more than doubled from around 260 million people in 2019 to some 580 million. A new ILO report released on Wednesday lays out the penalties paid by those now having to work from home, which include higher health risks, lower wages, and social isolation. However, Sergei Suarez, a Labour economist at the ILO who worked on the report, told UN News' Conor Lennon that some employers are happy with the productivity gains that they've seen, which means the great teleworking experiment is likely to continue. Mr. Suarez began by explaining that the impetus behind the publication of the report was the fact that very few countries have ratified the ILO's Home Work Convention, which entered into force some 20 years ago.
We started the report before the COVID pandemic. So the COVID pandemic is not one of the reasons why the report was done, but it folds very neatly into the COVID pandemic, because one of the things that we conclude is that had we done our homework better and more adequately, we would be better equipped to deal with the vast amounts of homework which have been occurring throughout the world given the COVID pandemic.
Well, as you say, so many of us are thinking of this now, myself included. I work from home, and most of my colleagues do as well. But of course, as you say, homeworking is not something that's new. There are some 260 million people who are involved in homeworking. But homeworking, as someone like me or you might understand it or deal with it, is obviously very different from the situation that many home workers face. Let's just look at what homeworking means for most people.
It's hard to say what homeworking means for most people, because homeworking is something which is extremely varied. Homeworkers go from being some of the poorest, let us say, most exploited people on the planet, some industrial homeworkers which are paid by the piece, doing sometimes backbreaking work for hours and hours and hours for very little earnings.
So when you say piece working, you mean you get paid for each piece that you make?
Exactly. So consider, for example, an embroidery worker in India or Pakistan, or a beady roller in India. They get paid by the 1,000 cigarettes that they roll, and it is a very small amount that they get. And on the other extreme, we have some teleworkers, obviously not all, who are highly skilled individuals who are very well paid. Now, it's important to note that there is a home worker penalty that applies almost everywhere, both to low-skilled industrial home workers and to high-skilled teleworkers, and eventually also low-skilled teleworkers, and if there are any high-skilled industrial workers. There is a home work penalty which occurs everywhere. So everywhere home workers make less, there's a few exceptions, but almost everywhere home workers make less than equivalent workers who work at the firm.
And why is that?
That is an excellent question, and it's very hard to give a causal answer, because we've been looking at the statistics, but the statistics give us numbers, and causal interpretations don't necessarily come from the statistics. But the best guesses that we have are basically their isolation and the fact that things that could help to get around the isolation, such as organization, unions in particular, are very much lacking for home workers. It's not that they don't exist. Some home workers do organize, but they are much less organized than other workers. And they're also socially isolated. Since they're at home, they're not at the firm. They don't bump into everybody else. They don't participate in the social interactions in the firm. So that's something which is very important. And all of us who are doing working from home right now during the pandemic, we've seen the effect of the isolation. We've seen its effect, including on our mental health sometimes. So this is basically how home workers often live a good part of their lives, very isolated, at least from the world of work in terms of the work they do. So I think that's, if I were to find one reason why home workers pay a penalty, a wage penalty, it is because of their isolation.
Now, we all know that many more people have been homeworking, teleworking. It's just been an inevitable fact of 2020. You don't have the full figures yet, but do you have a kind of a ballpark of the increase that there has been on top of this existing 260 million people?
We have a guesstimate, okay? We estimated the amount of people who could be working from home, okay, given their occupations, okay? So it's basically based on occupations. We look at who is working in occupations that allow them to work from home, okay? And our estimate is about 580 million. So a little bit over twice the amount of people who were home working in 2019 could be home working from 2020. We don't really know if the number is higher than that or lower than that. It could be lower because some of the people who have occupations that allow them to work from home for some reason are not doing so. And it could be higher because people could change occupations in order to be able to work from home. So, but our estimate, you know, I don't know if it's a likely figure, but one which, if the occupational structure stayed the same, would be around 580 million. So twice as many, about 17% of the workforce in the world.
Of course, we now have vaccines for COVID-19, but to what extent do you think this means we'll go back to some kind of normal as we were before? And to what extent do you think that teleworking will become the norm for more people?
It's hard to make predictions, hard ironclad predictions about the future, right? So, but I would guess that the great teleworking experiment will have its fruits. And a lot more people will be working from home henceforth. That would be my guess. If you look at the research that has been done, and it's not, there haven't been a lot of statistical, I don't think there have actually been any, you know, statistically significant surveys done with large samples on how this is going on so far. But there have been smaller surveys, internet-based surveys, phone-based surveys, both with teleworkers and their employers. And it has shown a surprising thing. Employers are, in general terms, quite satisfied with the telework. Apparently, teleworkers are working harder at home than they did at the office. And a lot of the time that they save from commuting, they're putting into more work. And, well, they're also losing, the firms are not losing money by paying for costs such as office space and energy. And some of these costs are actually borne by the teleworkers themselves. And so the employers are quite satisfied with the telework. Now, the teleworkers are not entirely happy. And a lot of them are complaining of the social isolation. They are complaining of the health burden. They are complaining of the fact that in many cases, when there are no schools, they have to take care of their children as well as telework, and it's becoming a tremendous burden upon them. So it's interesting that the employers have a far rosier picture than the employees during during the pandemic. Of course, this is a very special case. People have to go teleworking. They are not choosing to telework. But I think, and I would guess that when we go back, there are many people who will, either through, you know, choice or some kind of suave coercion, remain in telework or go back to telework. As at least for the employers, this has been, they're quite satisfied with teleworking.
So in short, they've seen that there are many economic benefits for them. I'm saying them, the employers. So there's a good chance this is going to carry on when many more people are vaccinated. Now, in your report, you've made many recommendations. As one might imagine, you are pushing for stronger legislation, better policies that better protect workers. But what appetite have you found amongst governments to actually implement these kind of recommendations?
Well, it's hard to say. After the convention on home working was passed, there was not an awful lot of interest on the part of governments, and only about a dozen countries ratified the convention. And I'm not sure that I can think of a single country which has today a full coherent home working policy that we would like to see. Of course, this is normal because, like I said, home workers are isolated. Their political action due to their isolation is less than that of other workers. And so I'm not saying that it's good, but it's kind of to be expected that it's more difficult these policies are hard to get through. Now, I hope that the pandemic will teach us one thing, which is that we have to have these policies in place. Let me give you just some examples. Many labor force surveys did not have adequate home worker questions. So many countries simply could not know who was home working because they didn't even have the questions in their labor force surveys and even less in their labor registries. Many countries had to put in ad hoc homework questions in their surveys, and still the result is that we don't see them extremely well. So I think there's a lot of the policies that are in the Convention on Home Working that are policies that we should take a good look at them when the COVID emergency is over and see, look, this is an important mode of production. This is not some marginal thing which will go away. It's here to stay. It may even grow bigger than it is today, and we have to take a look at it.